9:12 right now, streaming live at watchbreview.com. In the studio, we have Jomo Hankerson, family member for Aaliyah and president of Black Ground Records. Has not done an interview in 14 years.
Wow.
That's how serious he is about this picture being made.
I know. Okay.
But you know what, Jomo, the question that keeps coming up and what's making all of the rounds is this whole relationship with R. Kelly. And you said it off air that, you know, you managed R. Kelly with your company for how many years?
14.
For 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I mean, obviously Lifetime is using this to help pre-promote this movie.
Yeah.
How do you explain all of this controversy? Because you said when Aaliyah was on Top of the World and then this happened, did they get married?
Well, I let that come out in the movie. It won't be in this movie, but it'll come
Jomo,
out eventually one day.
14 years.
Wow.
Did 14 years. You've never done this.
Uh-huh.
I remember talking about it on the radio.
You know what it is, Ryan? It's not my place or the forum for me to really get into that.
Okay.
That's why I just beg off that.
Why was it such a big deal, you think, for the public? Because even nowadays, it's still controversial.
Yeah.
We think about that. That's like one of the things we think about when we think of her.
Yeah, absolutely. It was at the time, she was huge. He was huge.
Right.
You had Biggie.
The business.
And Faith were together.
Right.
It was a lot of things going on like that in the business at that time. So I think it was just indicative of the times.
The chemistry, too.
Yeah, absolutely. When you hear that first album, it was obviously a lot of creative chemistry on that record. So.
I mean, but, you know, when people go back and they start...
What was surprising to me is really how, after it all came out, it was really kind of like Aaliyah got villainized somehow.
She got blamed.
That's true.
Yeah, and that's right. The part that I never understood. That was really the biggest part that I never understood. And that's what made the transition to the second album very difficult. We were coming off of a multi-platinum debut album, and, you know... except for a few relationships with Jermaine Dupri and Puffy, it was hard for us to get producers.
Wow.
So do you think y'all had been blackballed once people started?
It felt like it. That's what it felt like, and never understood that. You know, she was 16 at the time, 16, 17 at the time we were cutting that second album, and I just
people
didn't understand why they were upset with Baby Girl.
Wow. I remember that.
But when you say, like, when y'all are going out and trying to do the second album, were people not taking the calls?
Yeah, it was not taking the calls, begging off of producing, even demoing. You know, it was tough to get named guys to get in the studio, because the first question was, well, is R. Kelly going to do something on the record? And when we would go no, it was like, okay, well, we'll hit you back.
So why did they want R. Kelly to be
right,
on
that's
it?
What I'm gonna say.
Maybe to juice up their publishing. Maybe they felt like it wasn't going to be much of a project if he wasn't crafting the material.
And the impact, I mean, that she was having, you know, with the movies and the style trend she was setting with the, you know, the brief showing and the baggy. I mean, she was a style setter and a trend setter.
Trendsetter, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, she was the litmus test that you look for in a female artist. After they do a video or they come out with some visuals, do the young girls copy what they're doing?
Right.
And she set the agenda for,
I agree,
you know, nearly a decade of her career.
Do you get to hear from, I know her relationship with Missy Elliott was really, really a good relationship. Like, that was Missy's girl.
Yeah.
Do y'all get to hear from Missy often?
Not, you know, over the years, not as often as you would like. But, yeah, me and Missy are really cool. And everything is beautiful.
Is she doing fine?
Oh, Missy's doing great. I think she's working on a new record or
good.
Like that. I think her and Timbaland are back in the studio.
Okay.
All the compilations that we've heard and people trying to, you know, the Chris Brown and the Drake and all that. What's your thoughts on all that? I mean, I like the Chris Brown record. I thought that was the one that did the most justice. But what do you rank all those?
Well, I like the Chris record. I really like the Drake record. You know, for me, what people don't really know, because, you know, we in the media age that we're in, Aaliyah always worked with a lot of producers and songwriters. Mm-hmm. Really, a cat named Static Major, who passed away in 2008. Mm-hmm. He did Lollipop with Lil Wayne. Mm-hmm. He wrote probably more of the hits than Missy actually did. Missy was very prevalent on the second album.
Yeah.
But Are You That Somebody, Static wrote. Try Again, Static wrote. More Than a Woman, Rock the Boat. Mm-hmm. So Static was a huge creative force with Aaliyah that everybody don't know. So this idea that on the second album, there was probably Jermaine Dupri was on that record, Puffy was on that record, Vincent Herbert, executive produced that record with me. So Aaliyah always worked with a lot of producers and collaborators.
We got to go to break.
Missy and Timbaland just got the headlines.
I just ask you a couple of things before we go to break and let you go. Do you think that you guys will try to do your own film? Is it in the works to try to raise the capital to bring it to a major studio and produce it? And if so, how do you think that would happen and how soon?
Well, obviously, if we hadn't done that to this point because we didn't get the high sign from Rashad and Diane to do something like that yet. And
for people who don't know, tell them.
That's my aunt and my cousin. So that's why we hadn't already done
that. That's Aaliyah's mother.
Yes. And brother.
Right.
So the reason why we hadn't done something is because we hadn't had that conversation with them.
Okay.
This Lifetime thing kind of came out of the blue. And, you know, we saw it when the press release was released, like everybody else did. I think going forward, we would definitely have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that notwithstanding whatever they do, I know there's going to be things that they don't cover because they just don't have the knowledge to cover it.
And, you know, Zendaya, who's been on the show, who's a sweet girl, is getting a lot of backlash from people.
Yeah. I know.
That's
unfortunate. What do you think about her being in this part? And if not her, who do you think would be the most likely person you say, okay, now I can see her playing Aaliyah?
You know, first of all, Aaliyah went through a similar situation after the R. Kelly thing. So I hate to see a young woman go through the kind of backlash that she's getting out there. It's not, you know, she's trying to get a job and work. It's not her.
Right.
Our problem is with Lifetime and the way they did the project. And again, like I said at the beginning, the platform. I just think this needs to be in theaters. This needs to be a major.
Who would you choose if you could choose someone?
I would love to get Zoe Saldana. I can't ever say her name, but I think she could pull off the acting part, and she's obviously gorgeous and beautiful. You know, my one problem with what Lifetime is doing musically is that they're actually having the young lady recut Aaliyah's vocals. So to hear somebody else on top of one, you know, it was a lot of flack you mentioned when there were other new producers doing Aaliyah music.
Right.
You know, I can't imagine somebody singing One in a Million as if she's Aaliyah. You know, that's unfathomable to me.
Well, we appreciate you, you know.
Yeah, thank you so much for being very candid. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
9:20 right now. It is People Station. It's V103.
The People Station, V103, presents the